Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush. This is Chuck Bryant, and this is episode one. Very excited to welcome everyone. If you're coming over from Stuff You Should Know, then thanks for your support. If you are just a movie fan in general and happened upon this, then welcome as well into our studio here at Pont City Market in Atlanta, Georgia. So, guys, I am so excited about this show. I'm so excited about episode one because Janet Varney, I gotta say, is probably the best episode one guest in all of podcast history. She's a pal of mine. I met Janet a few years ago at her comedy festival that she co-created many years ago, Sketchfest in San Francisco every January. And for my money, it's the best comedy festival in the land. And she's been kind enough to ask Josh and I to perform there for the past few years, and it's become a little tradition for us. And Janet is just awesome. She is a very, very talented actress. She's a gifted improv comedian, and she's smart and funny and just as kind of a soul as you would ever hope to meet. So she was here shooting in Atlanta, so I had her in the studio, which is great. She was shooting season two of her awesome, awesome show on IFC, Stand Against Evil, which actually just premiered yesterday on IFC. Season two just premiered, so check that out. It's a really great show. It's Dana Gould's comic take on the zombie show, which if you haven't seen it, binge season one and then check out season two on IFC right now. So anyway, Janet was here shooting that, and the last thing that people want to do when they're shooting a TV show and the hot, hot summer of Atlanta, working a lot of nights, is to come in and record a silly old podcast. But Janet is a pal and a very loyal person and friend, and so she was great. She came in here. We killed it. We talked about the movie Tron, the original, obviously, from 1982, the Disney picture with Jeff Bridges and Bruce Boxleitner, Cindy Morgan, David Warner, written and directed by Steven Lisberger, way ahead of its time, we both agreed. And this is episode one, and you'll notice here, this was such an early episode that as we get started here in our conversation, I didn't even have a title for Movie Crush yet. But since then, I did get a title from my good, good friend in real life, Scott Ippolito. Scott's one of my best friends, and I threw it out to him and said, hey, what should I call this thing? And I gave him the idea, and he went, how about Movie Crush? And it was just that simple. So we talk a little bit about that at first, which was kind of fun. So here we go with Janet Varney and Tron. This show is so new, I don't have a title for it.
This is very exciting. Should we just spend the whole time trying to figure out what the title is?
Well, it's funny. I was going to call it like something dumb and on the nose, like my favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, oh, I don't want people to think it's my favorite movie.
Uh-huh.
Then I thought, what about what's your favorite movie, notable person? And that's a bad title. So, but all those variations of all those things were taken. And that's the thing about podcasting is someone can do a show for a month, 8 years ago, and it's sort of taken.
Yeah.
Like if you go to start something up, they could always say, hey, I had that first or whatever.
Yeah. When I started my podcast, which is now and has always been the JV Club to the public.
Which is one of the greatest names ever, by the way.
That worked out for me.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that. But I was originally, and maybe that's for the best, because this other I was going to call it I Was a Teenage Podcast.
That's cute,
with
though.
This sort of, you know, like 60s era monster movie kind
That's
of
fun.
Theme to it.
Yeah.
But someone had a podcast where they did a handful of episodes a couple of years back.
Called that?
Called I Was a Teenage Podcast. So I had to throw that away.
Those people are the worst. The ones that start something and don't succeed. And then they're like, oh, give me $500 and you can have it.
Oh, like all of us. Oh, like all of us at one point. All right. Listen, here's some I do improv. I surely can come up with some. My first instinct was to suggest Chuck's Flicks instead of Chick's Flicks, like Chick Flicks. And then I thought it could be called Chuck's Flux.
That's great.
And no one will listen
to
it. Or will they know? They won't know what it is.
Chuck's Flux. I think it just sings. I did ask my friend who's great at titling things, and he said, what about the confession stand?
Oh.
Instead of the concession
stand.
Yeah,
yeah. But then that sounds like you really are getting into it.
Well, but it also sounds deep. Like it would be just about guilty pleasures.
Exactly.
Like
yes,
you
yes.
have to confess that.
Yes.
And no one would confess like, oh, I got to say like The Godfather's my favorite
right.
movie. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something to say with pride.
So I'm kind of at ground. I'm kind of mm-hmm. at zero mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. now. I have no idea.
Okay.
And then I thought about something Psycho's Godfathers and Streetcars Named Desire. Like something big and grand.
Right. That just sounds like the title of a book
well,
that then it, has a it, colon after it.
Well, no,
like,
it was a – there was God. That book about movies called – that's where I stole it. There was a book about 70s filmmaking called Easy Riders and Raging Bulls, which I was like, oh,
okay.
I can just rip that off.
Yeah.
But I guess I can't because that's the first thing he said and you don't even know the book.
It's a coffee table book without me knowing it's a coffee table book.
We'll title it later.
Okay.
But what is your –
thanks for bringing that up because now that's just going to eat away at everything I would have said. I'm
well,
just
no.
going to only be thinking about
but now you're
what
just going to text me in the
show
middle of the night.
Be,
I've got
for
it.
Sure. I'll come up with a – and then I'll put it on a T-shirt for you like you did with Ben Acker and his
that'd be great.
Dream joke.
Which we can't spoil.
Mm-mm.
Did you go to movies a lot when you were a kid? Because I know a little
yeah.
bit about your life because of your own show
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in Arizona.
Yeah. Movies
like,
are
in
a
New
very
Zealand.
Oh, yes. That's right. I guess I can finally talk. No.
But did you go to the movies a ton? Like
I did. That's definitely one of the things that you can do in a small-ish city in Arizona when the summer is just brutal and
right.
there's nothing to be done outside, really.
Like literally things
awful.
Melt in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. I have so many memories of like just the fold-out car. Like, no one uses those anymore, I guess, because windows are better. Or maybe they still do in
yeah.
Arizona.
Sure.
Maybe you still have the sunshades that sort of open. But
yeah,
we just had
here.
Those folding – we just had folding cardboard. Mm-hmm. Some of them the were fancy and made the car look like they were wearing sunglasses. Sure, sure. But that was vitally important,
yeah.
as was trying to find any place in the shade, because so many times I would get seatbelt burns.
Well, you guys would have –
severe seatbelt burns.
You know, I lived in Yuma for a year.
Oh, that's one of the hottest places on the planet.
Carpeted dashboards.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. Those are the moments where you really do think, and you really think how I can barely survive here
yeah.
and we have all the technology.
Yeah.
And the idea that the only reason we're here is because people have been dealing with this heat for a couple
why did
hundred
anyone settle
years
there?
That it's even survivable beyond, you know,
yeah.
pre having car shades.
I imagine every time I drove to L.A. through that desert and then I would eventually get crossover into the L.A. basin and that cool breeze hits.
Yeah.
I used to think about like the settlers.
Yeah.
What they must have thought, those who pressed on.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is clearly where I'm going to live.
Oh, God, if you stop in Yuma and go, like, I think this is the best we're going to get, guys. We're not going any
yeah.
further west.
There's
we keep being told just
miles.
A few miles.
Screw
not
it.
Not us.
Right here.
Yeah.
So the movie theater obviously is a respite.
Yeah, very much so.
So you would go see whatever?
I feel like I would. I mean,
Were you dropped off by the parents, that kind of deal?
Yeah, I would get dropped off by my parents for sure. Then I would take the bus. I saw a lot of movies by
really?
Myself. Oh, for sure.
That's
the public bus to the movies? Yeah, you bet. My dad's house is right in between two malls that have movie theaters. So there was a really easy couple of straight line go-tos on the bus
right.
to see movies. And I do have very specific memories of seeing certain movies and I can sort of put them in context. And then there are other
movies
I couldn't tell you.
Bus movies?
Not bus. Well, no, I don't think that. Like, for example, when I did – Craig Kukowski has a podcast where it is just us
it's
talking
just
about
like
his movie. He likes to talk about his old list of his favorite movies
right.
and his wife Carla's on it. And I, because they go in order, I happen to get Dead Poets Society.
Oh.
And that was a movie that I could remember.
Yeah.
I could remember everything about like going into Elkhorn Mall
uh-huh.
and seeing it and then feeling like my life had changed.
Oh, yeah.
And I cried so hard that yeah. I had to wait until they were – they kicked me out as they were sweeping their popcorn up.
Yeah. That was a heavy movie for
yeah.
people that like – you're a few years younger than me, but I – well, quite a few actually. But just to be a teen or a young teen and seeing that movie, that's like heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To process.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yes, 100%. And then I feel like shortly after that, I got into like even darker stuff because you have to go through that phase in high school where
you sort of
love a copper orange and and like Eraserhead and that kind of stuff. So I'm having a lot of flashbacks to that era because of Twin Peaks coming back. And
have you been watching that?
I have.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm struggling with some of it. I'm struggling deeply with some of it.
Our producer Noel is very into it.
You're into it. The hook, line, and sinker, including this last episode? Oh, no.
He hasn't seen it yet. Well, I've been watching, and my whole deal is the Twin Peaksy stuff I love, and that's what I expected.
Yeah, but there's like 5% of it.
And the other stuff like is total Lynch, which is great and weird and awesome, but I kind of wanted Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Listen, I'll take Dougie all day long. I don't ever want Kyle MacLachlan to be anyone but Dougie. Yeah. I love him so much as Dougie.
You should do road movies.
Will watch the 7-minute take of him eating potato chips.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can watch the 7-minute take of XYZ, all of these other things that he's throwing in that are just, they're so long. Yeah.
Love Lynch so much though. And like, I just want him to be doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even if it doesn't resonate fully with me, just keep doing it.
I agree. I'm just – I can't – sometimes I feel like he's pranking us a little bit.
I do,
sometimes I feel like he's like, they gave me Final Cut. I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to show this for 5 minutes because I can.
Yeah, because I don't think it fully makes sense in his head in a narrative way.
No. There are things that don't advance the story in any way, shape, or form that
David
I can
Lynch.
Tell.
And That's the David dude Lynch. Is like, how old is he? And he's still that weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Talk Brandon about, interviewed like, him for Wired Magazine. And
oh, really?
They
down with him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And they got on really well because Brandon asked really interesting questions instead of, like, the questions that he was supposed to ask, probably.
Right.
So he got all this, like, fun backstory about David Lynch and the bird that lived in on his roof and all this kind of this and that. The kind of stuff that you want to hear, that you want to go, oh, God, of course that's how his brain works. But, yeah, so lots of going to the movies when I was younger. Lots of – my dad is a huge movie fan. And he introduced me to a lot of movies that I certainly wouldn't have seen as young as I was had he not been like, I think you're ready for this, you know.
What was your first R-rated movie? Do you remember that?
I'm not sure what it was, but I know that my mom took me to see RoboCop.
Was that R? That was probably R.
It's gotta be R. There's no way that's not a hard R.
Yeah.
There's some crazy violent stuff that happens.
I guess
a lot
I forget
of
how violent the movies were back then.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then she took me to Die Hard also. My Mormon mom, who did not have a television at home for some reason, wanted to take me to both of those movies.
That's great.
Yeah. So those were probably, I mean, those have got to be the first R movies that I went to. I don't know if I had seen something at home before then, but definitely those stick out.
Mine was, my dad took me to a war movie, The Big Red One, which was good and fine. Good World War II movie. And then the first one I ever saw, I think at all, was Escape from New York.
Oh, sure.
And I was over at some friend's house after church, and they were putting it on, and I called my mom to ask if it was okay.
Adorable. What'd she say?
She said because I had called.
If she had said no, you think you would have been like, guys, I gotta go.
Ooh, now that's a good question. I mean, I certainly
here at the confession
am
stand.
And was and am a rule follower.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
I like to not walk through those doors.
I don't like to be haunted.
I saw the movie. She said yes. That's all that mattered.
Okay.
She knew she had a good kid.
What a relief.
But my dad, this is kind of really, can't believe I'm going to say this to people out loud. My dad took my sister to see Body Heat in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't know.
Awkward.
I can't imagine. My dad did not go to movies ever.
Yeah.
So I've got to think that he had no idea what he was going to see.
But it was called Body Heat. It's not like the postman always rings twice where you're like, oh, that could be anything. It's probably about mail. It's about the U.S. mail system.
Exactly.
Body Heat?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well,
it was like
was
thermal tracking, some soldiers tracking. That's Predator, guys.
I'm going to have – well, I would say I was asking him about that one day, but I'm never going to ask him that. Maybe I'll ask my sister.
I'll ask him. You want me to ask him?
Why didn't he get up and leave the movie?
Yeah.
I actually got up and left during Grease, too, during the scene where the girls were having the sleepover in their underwear. My mom took me to see Grease, and I was so, like, embarrassed. I said, Mom, can we leave?
I'm trying to even remember their underwear. I feel – wasn't it just pajamas?
It was – I was Southern Baptist, Janet. I was really.
Mom, I saw an ankle. Yeah, I saw an ankle.
There was a lot of repression going on.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on. That, we'll get my therapist
Meanwhile, my
in
dad
here.
Let me watch Animal House, and I was like, boobs.
Oh, wow.
Boobs.
So your dad was cool.
Yeah. He, well, that's what's weird is he really didn't want me to see violent stuff.
Yeah.
Because he knew how sensitive I was. But he was like, yeah, sex is fine. It's silly. It's in, you know,
that's
it's in
normal.
Comedies. It's fine. And then my mom, who, again, Mormon, didn't have a television,
yeah.
somehow wanted to take me to see those two movies. I just don't,
yeah.
to this day, I don't understand.
So you got the violence from your mom.
I guess so.
Sex from your dad.
Yeah, it's great.
So,
as it should be.
Yeah, the American way. Everything was covered. So do you remember, we're talking about Tron specifically.
Yeah.
As your pick for all-time favorite movie.
Listen, first of all, I'm really bad at ranking anything.
Everyone
anything
is.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's...
That's the whole point of the show.
But some people really like kind of going like... I mean, again, using Craig as an example,
yeah.
he loves that he has this order that kind of shifts and he plays with it and he kind of... He knows at any given time.
Yeah,
what
but it shifts, are. Though.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Like, no one can... Yeah. Anyone's all-time favorite movie on any given day is probably going to be different.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. But I do feel like there are people who take pride in kind of like,
oh,
this
sure.
helps define me. This is my all-time favorite movie. And for many
and
people,
it
is The Godfather. I wonder how many times are you going to have to talk about The Godfather? And are you going to tell people, can you pick a not, if that's your favorite movie of all time, we've talked about it three times already. Can you pick a different one?
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat movies, I don't
okay.
think, unless there could be some like a fresh take.
Right.
You know? But it's funny that everyone I've asked so far has immediately been stressed out about the notion of picking one and then going public with that.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone does think it says something about them.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, could I, if I really sat down and tried to pick something, I mean, someone asked me, I think actually when I did a brief interview at the LA Podcast Festival where I'm pointing to you because we saw each other there and you did my podcast. I think I blurted out Harold and Maude because for a long time that would have been the situation.
Sure.
Like from my teens into my early twenties, I was proud to say that was my favorite movie.
That's cool. And it's how Ashby
it's super
and
cool.
It's,
and I still love it a lot.
Oh yeah.
But I think, so I could have, and I said that when I was interviewed then. I was like, oh, okay, I'll put Harold and Maude at the top of the list, I guess.
But Tron.
Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Tron because it's been important to me far longer.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Well,
I
there are a bunch of nerd dudes all over the world listening to this that are super excited that that's your favorite movie.
Well, I probably will. You're probably also safe in that I don't think anyone else will. It's not going to be like, Tron again.
All right.
Why is it everybody's number one?
Ira Glass loves Tron.
Yeah.
I have a confession to make about Tron.
Have you never seen it?
I've seen Tron.
You hate it.
I saw it this afternoon.
You really? It was the first time you've ever seen it?
I don't know how I didn't see Tron. I never saw Tron.
This is – what a great first episode.
I know. I loved the arcade game.
Yeah.
I played it obsessively.
Yeah.
And I never saw the movie.
Oh, my God. This is great.
And I don't know why. I was trying
I'm
to figure
so
it out
excited.
Today. I was
it's
like,
so fresh
yeah,
in
I've
your
seen
mind.
Tron, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the movie with the light cycles. But
right.
Then it started to dawn on me. I never, never, ever saw Tron.
Oh, my God.
So I watched it today.
Holy shit.
In full. And we should talk about it.
Okay.
What was your first, like, Tron experience? Do you remember seeing it in the theater?
I don't remember my first time seeing it. I really don't. I couldn't tell you if I saw
it.
I'd have to ask
my dad.
Was it
theater or probably VHS?
Well, I could have seen it in the theater. I mean, it's a Disney movie. Number
one.
You've
been pretty young, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I would have – I mean, I was, what, six? It was 1982.
Yeah. That's
I think
reasonable.
I probably saw it in the theater. And the reason is that it like rocked my world. And so I can't imagine that I would have seen it on VHS for the first time.
Okay.
I maintain to this day that it was so far ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah.
So far ahead of its time. And it is pretty peculiar and amazing that it's a Disney movie. I think it's worth – like, it's of note for that reason in and of itself. I don't play video games. I'm not a gamer at all.
Well, I was
going
to ask you that.
So it has nothing to do for me with, like, I never played.
So you didn't go to the arcades or anything like that?
No, no, no.
Wow.
I mean, I would play, like, handheld Pac-Man games, like, at my friends' houses. And I played whatever, like, PC learning games my dad got me.
Like Oregon Trail and stuff.
I don't even think I had Oregon Trail. That was more advanced than what I had.
You had Arizona Trail?
Didn't even have Arizona Trail, Chuck. I'm talking about – the only thing I can think of right now was a game called Spell It that was a spelling game that involved a frog whose little tongue would come out and like lick – it would lick and absorb the letters after you spelled something correctly. That was like your prize.
How old were you?
I mean, I was little.
Okay, I mean,
this wasn't like 15 years old. I mean, it was like, you know, when you're
but it sounds like something
a
2 year old would
not
play
a 2 year
with.
Old maybe like a this was when it was, you know, still cool, like it was shocking that there was any kind of a game to be played, so probably around 6 years old or something.
Spell It.
Yeah. And like, yeah, listen, some of the words would get pretty tricky. I don't want you to think that it was like dog and cat,
right?
You know,
two syllable words.
Frogs, the frogs are hungry. They need long words.
So I'm not a gamer. It was arcade games that got you in there, though.
Not at all. No. I just loved the world of it. And to this, like, I would have dreams about it. I still have dreams about it.
Really?
Yeah, that I'm inside the game grid.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason that I didn't play the arcade games is that because I saw the movie first, the arcade games were just these flat two-dimensional things. And the whole point was like, but no, don't you understand? These games exist for regular people to play.
Right.
I'm a user,
but
I should be inside the game. Uh-huh. That's the only way I want to experience it is like viscerally with my cute uniform on.
Uh-huh.
And I loved the music. The music, again, totally ahead of its time and crazy and weird and great. Now we'll get into the kind of the sentimentality of it, which was that my dad also loved it.
Okay.
And we would play this game at night, like
here
when
we
I
go.
Was yeah. When I was
this is why you love Tron.
And then I walk out and just close the door behind me. We had an alarm system in the house where, you know, you have the motion detector and the little red light blinks when there's motion.
Yeah.
And then we also had, like, you know, everything digital. So, like, our microwave was digital, all our VCRs, clocks, all that kind of stuff was digital. And that's all,
it was 1982.
Like, green. Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's all green. So – and our house was this little tiny three-bedroom house, but it – you could go in a complete circle around it, right? So you could come in the front door. You could go through the living room, turn left, go down the hallway where all the bedrooms were, go back into the back room, and then that reconnected with the kitchen that reconnected with the front room.
Right.
So you can go in a full circle.
And there was a koi pond in the center.
And there was zero atria nor koi ponds.
Okay.
And so my dad would – we would play this game where we were inside the game grid. We would turn off all the lights in the house, and he would – when I was really – when I was little, like I guess 6 or whatever, because that's I would have – that's as little as I would have been able to be. He would kind of hold me Superman style.
Uh-huh.
And we would like scoot around the house and we would be trying to avoid Sark and like all the bad guys. And so if we were trying to creep past the motion detectors, I mean, listen, it was a great training for me if I'd become a expert cat burglar.
Yeah.
We would kind of get as far as we could before we'd see a light. And then we'd see the red light. We'd be like, they see us, the recognizers. And then we'd like run into the next room and like, to this day, I'm not afraid of the – like, I've never been afraid of the dark because I only equate the total darkness with playing Tron.
Right, which is good.
And, yeah, and it was this, like, super great, cool game that my dad made up that was legitimately, like, kind of scary and exciting. And it made me feel like I was inside that game grid.
That's adorable.
And then at Disneyland, we would go to Disneyland every summer. My dad would – we had friends who lived in La Cañada, which is kind of like Pasadena area. And he would – because it's the Arizona summers, he would wake me up. He would take a nap. Like he would sort of sleep for a couple of hours. And then he would get up in the middle of the night and wake me up and put me in a sleeping bag in the covered – cab of our Datsun truck, which was carpeted.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, he would wake me up at, you know, say 2 or 3 in the morning and say like, Miss J, are you ready to go to Disneyland?
Wow.
And I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so then I would get into the car and fall asleep. And then I would wake up and we would be almost there.
Uh-huh.
And then I would kind of clamber through the little window and then come sit with my dad. And then we would get there. And then at Disneyland, they had the People Mover, which one little tiny sliver of the People Mover was that you would go inside this kind of room that they had just put
Troned out.
Yeah.
No
they
way.
Just, all it was movie screens.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would be on the People Mover and then suddenly you would be on the game grid and the big recognizer would come and almost squash you and then you would go inside the light cycle maze.
Right.
So again,
and you just
no
wanted
interest
the People
in the arcade games. I did. I was like, yeah. I just want to live here full time. So those are all like very deep embedded childhood memories
That's
for
awesome.
Me. And but there's nothing about the movie now when I watch it. It means every bit as much to me. There are plenty of movies that I loved that I can sort of go, does it hold up?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not able to see if it doesn't hold up. Like, you just watched it for the first time, so your experience was your experience, and I totally respect that.
Right.
But I've brainwashed myself. I still watch it and think, God, this is ahead of its time. God, this is good. It's so good.
Well, it was ahead of its time because it was, and I did a little research today, it was one of the very first movies to use computer animation at all.
Yeah.
And this
People's minds were blown.
Who's the director?
The director is
I heard you earlier.
Steven Lisberger.
Oh, you nailed it. Earlier, I was
like, Peter Lindbergh.
I think you were just trying to be funny.
John Flansburgh from They Might Be Giants.
Steven Lisberger. And he, it was kind of a, not kind of, it was a passion project for him. Like, he thought of this world and was ahead of his time and couldn't get anyone to make it and like sunk his own money into like test shots and we took it around to the studios and was like, look at what I have. Look at this amazing thing. And I was like, nah, I don't know about that. And finally Disney took a flyer and said, all right, we'll give you like $10 million or whatever, which was huge because he wasn't in the Disney clan.
Right.
He was an outsider and he said he always felt that way too, which is kind of sad. Mm-hmm. But it was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And no one knew what they were seeing.
Yeah.
Like now for someone like me to watch it who's never seen it before, sure, it might look dated, but it also looks modern in a weird way.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like especially the stuff with the, and I didn't know, but they really shot in black and white.
Yeah.
The characters and did this rotoscoping process.
Yep.
And that, because of how they had to
and
do
so
it.
So painstaking.
That ends up looking kind of cool now.
Yeah. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's weird.
And all the way the city lights up at the – I mean, it's all so wonderful.
Yeah.
I also collect these like – at some of the kind of like hipster like Japanese toy shops.
Those.
When I was – well, there – you know, there are – they exist in like San Francisco and Los Angeles and, you know, these some of the kind of – certainly on the western coast cities. There was a place in San Francisco that sold they're called Kubrick. Of course.
Uh-huh.
Just I'm saying that because, of course, it's named after something also equally like niche and hip, where they would do these limited edition lines of toys from beloved movies like that.
Oh.
And so I have these really cool – they almost look like Mobile, like M-I – is it the M-O-B-I-L or those were those little people?
Oh, yeah.
With just a little kind of
– yeah,
they
almost
look like Lego people.
Uh-huh.
So they sort of do look like Lego people. But, you know, they're in their little uniforms. And then there's a great – but the design is so great and there's this great – I wish I – if we were in L.A., I could have brought it with me. But there's a recognizer that you can pop the legs off and then turn the legs inward in the center so you can make it into like the crush.
Oh,
and there's a tank that's really beautiful. But they're just so well done and well made.
How many – do you own a lot of these?
I have the whole set of the Kubrick stuff and then I have like a scattering of the original toys that look more like, you know, Star Wars figures or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have – I mean that's a good go-to gift for someone to
Well,
get,
my
yeah,
wheels are already turning.
Get me
I was
some
like,
Tron stuff.
I think I know when your birthday is.
And they did this really cool – they showed it at the Aero in Santa Monica years ago in Los Angeles and Steven, the director, was there and then one of the producers.
Wow.
I think Bruce Boxleitner was there and for sure, what's her name? The woman was there. Cindy Morgan was there. And so they all kind of talked and traded stories and talked about it. Oh, it was so cool. And they had a couple of, you know, costumes from there and whatnot. And
that's
I hate
cool.
Tron Legacy. Like nothing that came after Tron do I have any respect for whatsoever.
Well, I didn't see Tron Legacy and I think there was even a TV show.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. There was something
in between that between the two main big Tron movies.
But see, now that I've seen Tron, the idea, I know what the idea of Tron Legacy was. It seems like a great idea that like this Jeff Bridges' son has now come back. No.
Oh, it's so boring.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even look – I don't –
It didn't capture the spirit of the original at all.
Not to me.
Yeah.
To me, it's just this sort of empty, soulless
– Wow.
It just doesn't feel like – it just didn't do anything for me at all. Nothing.
I see why they did it though, you know? Like Tron was so ahead of its time and like now they have the technology.
Yeah.
And to make a new – and I like Garrett Hedlund.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I never saw it because I didn't see the original.
Part of but also – and I saw it only once. I saw it, El Capitan. I mean, I went hoping it would be great. You know, El Capitan, for those of you who don't know, is on Hollywood Boulevard and it's Disney's big theater and they have sometimes live entertainment beforehand. It's really – it's a beautiful place. And that was the right thing to do to see it there.
Uh-huh.
I can barely remember what it was about.
Did they have a light cycle out front?
I wish.
I bet. No.
No. I don't think they had – they might have had some costumes from the – then who cares because it's from the new stuff.
It's so weird that I love that game so much.
It's not wise-ass enough, right?
Oh.
Jeff Bridges' character, he returns in different variations of himself.
Well,
and
they
there's
made
some
him creepy
CG
young.
Stuff.
And, yeah, I saw
and,
that.
And he's humorless from what I can remember.
Yeah.
And Olivia Wilde, she's lovely, but like she's – everybody was just humorless.
Right.
And – that was – I mean, the whole point so much of Tron is Jeff Bridges being a complete wise-ass.
Yeah, he's a total smart-ass.
And infuriating Sark, which, I mean, obviously that's played by David
– Yes.
I always forget his name even though I love him. And he's
one of
the
great
bad guys
ever.
Yeah, A Man with Two Brains is very close to the top of my favorite movie. But if you ever podcast Sam Levine, that is his favorite. So I
kind of
struck that from the list because I knew Sam would want to talk about Man with Two Brains.
Oh.
I could talk about that all day long.
that came out the same year, you know.
Yeah, David.
Oh, no. It did not. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid came out that year. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his last name.
David Warner.
David Warner, of course.
One of the, and you know what's so freaky is, I don't know if you do this, but you go back and watch some of your favorite movies and then you think, wow, I'm older than them when they made this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Bridges and Boxleitner were both around 31-ish when they made it.
David Warner. Young punks.
It was 5 years younger than me.
Was he
41 years old.
He seems ancient in that.
Yeah, of course he did.
In our brain.
Because we were kids.
Right.
And now, and I even watched it today. I was like, look at that old creepy guy.
Yeah.
He's 5 years younger than me.
Oh my God. Well, he also has one of those faces where you're like, oh, you're 60, 20-year-old.
Right. And he wasn't
you'll get there.
Cargo shorts and a 40-watt
t-shirt. And he wasn't in, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And then the guy who plays Ram, and then when Ram dies.
Yeah.
Oh, it just still makes me cry.
Yeah.
And the whole weird the whole idea of technology and like the gods and that sort of playing with that kind of like theology, the idea that there would be information living inside a computer that would be, you know, that would be intelligent enough to question where itself came from, and putting all this faith in the people who created it. And I mean, it's just fascinating.
Well, that was sort of the great fear, I think, at first when, you know, computers became a thing. But now it's sort of a legitimate fear of, you know, robots becoming sentient.
Master control program, man.
Yeah. Like that's kind of a thing now. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But what's kind of struck me, a couple of funny things on that note when was it Sark?
Sark, yeah.
Was talking to the David Warner character and kind of explaining how things –
Oh, well, MCP, that master control program is the main – and then Sark is like his lackey kind of.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
David Warner.
Yeah, MCP was –
so MCP is just –
it does get a little confusing because they all play different –
MCP, you just hear – you hear that deep, scary voice.
But then you see
like,
it as a, like a computer grid face in the end.
Oh, I also have the toy of that. It's so cool.
But a couple of funny things. One is he said that he was getting involved with the Kremlin and who else? The Kremlin and the Pentagon. Because he said that he could design things – 900 to 1200 times better than any human.
Yeah.
I just love that number range.
Yeah.
It's like, between 900 and 1200 times better.
Yeah.
And the other thing was the beginning and the end of the movie is so weird and abrupt. How the movie starts, it just, you know, it says Flynn's Arcade, which is in Culver City, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been by that building, the whole building.
I haven't.
That's where they shot the exterior. And, it starts with just, a dude playing the Tron game, and then it goes in on the Tron game, and then you're in the Tron game,
yeah.
And then it just starts.
Yeah.
And then it says, it literally says, like, and meanwhile in the real world.
Yeah.
And then it's Jeff Bridges, and you're like, well, yeah. Who's this guy? And yeah. Then when the movie just it just ends, like, they're in the computer world, they have the big climax fight, and then he gets out of a helicopter at the end and joins Box Lightner and Cindy Morgan.
Yeah.
They're like, they hug, and that's the end of the movie.
Listen, first of all,
I'm not picking it apart.
There's a lot of – there's the big climax is definitely inside the game. And
– sure. And that's what the movie was about.
We see him come back out. And then when he comes back out, we see that he's successfully gotten all the information that's printing out very slowly on the loud printer.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Like –
the dot matrix. Uh-huh.
And that's all we need to know.
Well, then David Warner sees that. No – It didn't.
Yeah,
like,
then it's like he's toast, and then it's like, hey, the boss is coming, and you're right, it's Jeff Bridges.
It
in the
didn't
helicopter.
Strike me as bad filmmaking. It struck me as such a thing of its time. Period.
Yeah.
Like to where movies would end with just everyone like high fiving, and that's it.
Now we've been tainted in the other direction by too many false endings.
Oh my god!
Where you're like, wait a minute, this
Absolutely.
Movie every scene now for the last 20 minutes
yeah.
has felt like the last scene.
Tarantino.
Let's keep it clean. Let's get in, get out.
Yeah.
And then as the lights go down in the city, not to quote a Journey song, then
and the
you
moon shines
see
on the bay.
How much it looks like the game grid.
What else do they have in here? The whole building, David Warner, Jeff Bridges, Bruce Wagner, 31. Cindy Morgan, you know, I know her from Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm. She's a fox. She's a real fox.
As Lacey Underhalls, which is, wow. Couldn't get away with that today. And then the other thing I thought was neat was Incom,
mm-hmm.
as the name of the company. It was like kind of one of the great evil villain companies
yeah.
of all time, I think.
Yeah. It sounds like it could be anything.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great and terrifying about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the key.
Door and just all the stuff they're working on. The whole idea that you could, you know, use lasers to break down the atom to
uh-huh.
the point where you could just
yeah.
shoot it through space. I mean, that's a little bit Wonka Vision, too. That's another movie I could have probably said.
Oh,
everything,
sure.
Everything goes back to being a young person. Like, I think I'm so connected to that unbridled passion.
Yes.
That feels kind of unmatchable as
an
adult.
Pre-cynicism.
Yeah. I mm-hmm. can't. So I think those are all the movies that I really go back to, because when I think about movies, I mean, you know, after I saw In Bruges, I was like, this is my favorite movie.
Oh, God,
and then I saw
movie.
Another movie that I felt was my favorite movie
yeah.
a year later. I was
In
like,
Bruges
no,
is
this
so
is my
great.
Favorite movie. But, you know, In Bruges is in there. The Ice Storm, I still think, is like
oh,
one of the best
God.
Movies ever made.
One of my favorite
so there's,
movies.
There's artistically, you know, intact and,
yeah.
you know, brilliant movies that would also be
right.
kind of in my list. But I like to say, like, I have a top – it's like I have 25 top five movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
You have like – you get 25, but they're all part of your top five.
But I did think of a segment today that I'm going to do for everyone, which
okay.
is
– Oh, you asked me to remember some – think about maybe something more like Guilty Pleasures.
We'll do that later.
Okay.
And by later, I mean in 5 minutes.
Hour three. Okay.
this is a segment. Maybe we'll get Noel to do some cool music for this called What Ebert Said.
This movie is a complete disappointment.
Okay. All right.
Because I thought he's always – I mean, there are plenty of legendary film critics, but
sure.
he's always been my favorite.
Absolutely.
He gave – well, what do you think, first of all?
Oh, no.
Do you have any idea?
Listen, I want to believe that he – was on board and that he understood how special and important it was
mm-hmm.
and that he thought to himself, Janet Varney will one day name this as her favorite movie. But I don't feel like it got particularly good reviews, and I don't think it did particularly well. So and he was pretty influential at the time. So I'm prepared for him to have given it a thumbs down.
Ebert loved it.
Oh, good. Okay.
He gave it 4 stars
oh,
and
great.
A thumbs up. And he says it was a technological sound and light show that is sensational and brainy, stylish and fun.
Oh, good.
And then he went on to rave about the special effects. He said that the wholly imaginary worlds of Tron are so cleverly composed that I never, ever got the sensation that I was watching some actor stand in front of
never.
Or in the middle of special effects.
Never. And I think you see that so much more today.
Oh, yeah.
You can really feel the sort of flatness
yeah,
of the
people
poor,
are like,
these poor people.
You can do anything.
I mean, yeah.
And
it's hard
it's like
to
you
act
really
with
can't.
A green screen. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I felt like I can't again, I feel like they were all there. They were all there living in that world.
They're starting to get it right, though. Like, did you see The Jungle Book?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that was
good.
Seamless
that was really well done.
And amazing.
Yeah, it really was.
But for a while there, people kind of went nuts.
Well, even still, even with, like, Fantastic Beasts, for example,
I did not see that.
I feel so strongly that I can see, like, Eddie Redmayne sort of looking at his finger where something is supposed to be. And I just am so aware it's not there. I'm so painfully aware it's not there.
I don't know about that finger scene, but.
Well, you know,
I know what you're talking about.
Like when there's a lot of mystical, fun toy things around.
Well, the eye lines never quite match.
It's always tough.
Even with all the technology, they're off just enough to where it looks like the Three's Company episode where Jack's twin visits, you know, which I don't think it ever happened. Although it should have. And the last thing here is I looked up the movies of 1982, mainly because I was like, why didn't I see this? What was I going to see?
Oh, so I can know now what else was 1982?
Well, yeah, and it's...
Is a powerhouse of stuff?
Well, movies back then were amazing.
Yeah.
And this is just, like, when you look at the list of movies that are out in 2017, and then this list, it makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
Because 1982...
Well, I'm excited to hear this list.
Blade Runner.
Shit, yeah.
E.T., The Thing.
Oh, man.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Poltergeist. Wrath of Khan.
Oh, my God.
Tootsie.
Tootsie. 48 also hours. In my top five. Tootsie, hands down. Probably Blade Runner 2.
Tootsie was just a March release in 1982.
Oh.
It wasn't like Oscar season's coming up. Like, that's where it would be slotted today.
These movies, Chuck, this is blowing my mind.
Did I say Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
You did, yeah.
48 Hours.
Huge.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Huge.
Annie.
Oh, my God.
First Blood, very big for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
Rambo
you're into it.
Got it.
The Dark Crystal, Gandhi.
Oh, The Dark Crystal.
Rocky III.
Never saw Gandhi.
Rocky III was very big for me.
But I did see Rocky III. That's where my priorities lie.
I mean, there are a couple of movies that I wouldn't say like, oh, my God, this is so great. But they were big for me. Like Beastmaster was 1982.
Never seen Beastmaster.
It was great. But then Sophie's Choice, World According to Garp. My Favorite Year, The Secret of Nim, Diner.
My Favorite Year.
Like, this is just a smattering. This
That's
isn't all
crazy.
The movies.
This That's is just a crazy partial
an average
list.
Year in Hollywood in the early 80s.
I mean, I could comfortably pick some of my all-time favorite movies just out of that.
You could stop Blade Runner, E.T., The Thing, and Poltergeist, and you could
Poltergeist and throw Tootsie on
Tootsie,
there for
no
me.
Other movies were made that year, and it would
oh
be, like,
God.
One of the great years.
The Thing I just saw on the big screen at the Arclight, and it beyond holds up.
Yeah. That's a great
one. Amazing. And super gruesome.
Yeah.
Really gross.
John
like
Carpenter
great
is
gore.
The man.
Yeah.
And, he did all his, still does all his own music.
It's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Any finishing thoughts on Tron?
I love it.
Thumbs up.
Tron, I love you. Tron, I know that you're a movie, even though you were also a character in the movie named Tron. But I just wanted, for the longest time, I was like, if I have kids, I'm naming my kid Flynn, no matter whether it's a boy or a girl.
I thought you were going to say Tron.
No, I wouldn't name that. No, because
or
Flynn
MCP?
Is the one I really love.
Was it MCP?
The MCP.
Yeah, that'd be a funny name.
Michael Chadwick Peterson. Just so good, I could call him MCP.
that would be a pretty slick move. But Tron was a character, but also the name of the security system.
That's right.
That Boxleitner was
designing. Not if my
designing.
Tron program get, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Noel just got up and I walked him. I walked Noel. He's done.
That's
He's
what
so
I
done.
Thought was confusing to me about, a little bit about the movie. So all the different characters playing
but that's,
users
yeah, but that's
or,
the thing. It's like,
you're like, but that's what it's
Bruce,
about, dumbass.
Bruce invented the program Tron, so that's what Tron looked like. Tron looked like his user. And then Flynn designed a ton of stuff.
Yes.
So that's why, like, when you go inside the beginning of the movie in the tank, that's Flynn, too, because he designed that program.
In the tank. What about the scene with when Cindy Morgan and – when Lacey Underalls and Bruce and the Scarecrow first go He was the Scarecrow, right?
Sure. You bet he was. He certainly wasn't Mrs. King.
I never saw that show, but
I
just did the math real quick.
I've never either.
They walk in the first time they go to see Jeff Bridges, or Flynn, excuse me, and he's so overly sweaty from playing the video game that at first I was like, is he really that sweaty? Because the armpit sweat's like out to his chest. Then his chest was sweaty through the shirt. It's like, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
And he goes up and takes off his shirt. And I was I think that's exactly why they did it.
Yeah. He takes off one shirt and puts on a different shirt, and they're both Flynn's video game. Like, it's the, but he takes it off in front of her.
Because they used to date.
Mm-hmm.
And then he
it's
had that
like
sly
little
line about leaving the house messy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she practically shoves Bruce Boxleitner on the couch.
Yeah.
Because of the quip about her leaving her house messy.
Uh-huh. And relationships, am I right?
I mean, I'm all troned up now.
Would I say that Tron is a go-to to understand relationships between the two people who care about each other? No, probably not.
But maybe between man and computer.
Between man and computer? Between a bit and a program? Remember that little bit? Yes. No.
Janet Varney, thanks for coming into the...
What about my guilty pleasures?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chuck!
You're right.
You've been doing this podcast for 1 hour. In life,
look at,
and you don't remember the
in,
your
in
signature.
In all caps bold, I have close with guilty pleasure. All right, what's your guilty
this
pleasure?
This pilot program. Well, I did think about it because I didn't want it to be a
Tron.
Thing. Listen, first of all, how dare you? And I said that in our text too. I said, don't you even pretend like my favorite movie can also be a guilty pleasure. I will never call it a guilty pleasure. But I was trying to think because I thought, oh, I don't want to have some pretentious schlock, like you said, where someone's like, my guilty pleasure is The Godfather.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
shut
yeah.
up. But it's kind of hard because I don't have a lot of the like, oh, I know this. Like, same with reality television, stuff like that. I don't find that I have a lot of like,
right.
this is delicious and I know I shouldn't, right. but here I watch, you know. I feel I get really impatient with stuff that isn't good. So I was trying to think of things that I would watch anyway. And I think I actually wrote a couple of them down. I know for sure that recently on planes, I can't stop watching movies about horses, which was never something I cared about.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, Seabiscuit seems like the best movie I've ever seen.
National
I watched Secretariat.
Velvet, Secretariat.
They didn't have – well, this is Delta, and they have some old movies that you can watch.
Right.
I hadn't gotten to The Horse Whisperer, which I've never seen.
I didn't
see that
either.
I probably won't watch War Horse. But
I didn't see that
suddenly, I need like feel-good horse movies when I'm on a plane because
okay.
I'm too tired to enjoy anything else. So feel-good horse movies – apparently, that's a new thing. And then I also admitted to...
Black Beauty. Did you see that when you were a kid?
The
Black Stallion.
I didn't give a crap. I didn't give a crap about horse movies. I did see The Black Stallion. I barely remember it. The Last Unicorn. That was a tough one. I will always... But I did, especially because I know you like Jaws so much. I feel the same way about Jaws. And I will see...
That's a guilty pleasure?
A shark movie. Not Sharknado. Not like
okay.
intentionally campy shark movies. But I will give almost any shark-based movie a chance. And I love the movie Deep Blue Sea. I love it.
I think I saw that
I've
in
watched
the theater.
It. I've seen it so many times. If it's on, I will watch it till the end. I love it.
I liked how unabashedly schlocky it was.
Yeah, it knew what it was, and so it camped out in a good way.
Yeah.
But it was genuinely still very scary to me, even though
yeah.
the sharks got smarter because they were injecting them with some sort of growth hormone so
yeah.
that they could cure Alzheimer's.
Right.
That's a side effect. The sharks got smarter. The sharks got smarter, Chuck.
That was the big pull line from the trailer.
I love it.
I remember that.
And I was so starstruck when my friend Oscar, we were going to dinner with Oscar and Ursula, who are dear friends of ours. And he said, I hope you don't mind. Our friends are going to be joining us. And
was it the shark?
It was the shark.
Oh, my God.
It was the shark. No, it was Saffron Burroughs. And I said, in a million years, mm-hmm. I never thought I would meet Saffron Burroughs. This
right.
is not a person that I think I travel the same circles with.
Right.
I was very excited. That I got to meet
yeah.
Saffron Burroughs
for
of
that reason.
Deep Blue Sea.
And it was yeah. it everything you thought?
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's just great.
That was her line, wasn't it?
The sharks got smarter, yeah. She made those sharks smarter. She put us all at risk.
Wow.
And she got Sam Jackson munched. I mean, that's a great moment.
That
when
was
that
a great
shark
moment.
Snatches him up. I feel that moment, I can't think of having seen that anywhere before that movie, and
uh-huh.
I feel like I've seen it a million times since.
Yeah, and like Snakes on a Plane was a direct descendant
mm-hmm.
of Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
Because I think Deep Blue Sea, I don't think they were – was that Rennie Harlan? Why do I want to say that was Rennie Harlan?
Is it? Was it? Gosh, I don't know if it was. It might be.
I might be making that up. It was not Steven Lisberger because he didn't direct anything else.
Yeah, he was like a Silicon Valley nerd who just went right back to doing
whatever
he was doing.
He did a couple of things. His claim to fame was Animaniacs before that's how he
sure.
got a little juice in the industry.
Sure, sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that Animaniacs
yeah, that
cred and dough.
Big swinging Johnson. Animaniacs. So anyway, those are a couple of my guilty pleasures. And I also, this is probably too far on the side. This popped in my mind. It was the first thing that popped in my mind.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that it's accurate. But for some reason, the first thing I thought of was Intolerable Cruelty with...
Love that movie.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones and George Clooney. And I think the reason I classify it as a guilty pleasure is because I somehow know I'm supposed to not like it because it's not full Coen brothers.
Yes.
And so I've been told it's terrible. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it is
society
not,
has told
great.
Me it's terrible. Unlike Oh Brother, We're Out There or whatever. And so that was what the first thing that popped in my mind. I love that movie.
Yeah, I don't like
it's
when
so
people
funny.
I think there's two Coen brothers tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that second tier when they're clearly just having a good time making a comedy.
Yeah.
I love those movies.
Yeah.
Like Intolerable Cruelty and the one I really love is with Brad Pitt and Clooney.
Oh,
and
Burn After Reading?
Burn After Reading.
I think
love that movie.
I think I hated that when I saw it, and now I like it. And I didn't love Hail Caesar, and I'm wondering if in a couple of years maybe I'll love that too.
I liked Hail Caesar.
Because maybe it – I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Would That Were That Simple is like – made me laugh so hard. I loved
really
that scene.
It's a really great scene.
So good. But Barton Fink is another one where I'm like, is that one of the all-time greatest movies? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably has one of the all-time greatest endings of any movie.
Yeah.
Talk about an ending.
Yeah.
I
didn't
whistle for that.
I saw that. That's kind of one of my friends and mine's from college favorite movies. So we watched it, saw it in the theater, then watched it obsessively in college.
It's very special.
And he went on to be friends with Tony Shalhoub,
who,
in real life, IRL. And
that's
he was
great.
So good in that.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, in that
He's
little
great
part.
In everything. How do you feel? Do you feel this went well?
I think
let's have a postmortem on camera. On
I think
mic.
It went great. I might do a little solo postmortem, not tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to go to bed.
Fair.
Because it's, 7:30? No, I think it went great. The pilot episode.
Do you like how I jammed in, 8 of my other favorite movies in? So
I think that's kind of
whoever
what...
takes them, I still was the first one to say.
Yeah. That's kind of the point, though. Screw
how
you,
gross.
Sam Levine.
That's right. Sam, Man with Two Brains is really great. I could quote the hell out of that movie.
You know,
God, I'm a real dork.
What, for that movie? Or
just all my favorite movies. Everything I'm naming is just so dorky. But
well, you went after Tron
so
hard.
Good.
So, and now that I know the whole story behind it.
Yeah.
Like it's really – It's a
real thing.
Yeah.
It's
I get it.
Thing. Yeah.
You weren't seeking nerd cred or anything like that.
No.
In fact,
I'm
you hate
not.
Nerds.
Wait, now hold – now let me ask you to back off that for a second. Untrue. No, this was great.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Janet Varney, for show number one.
Thanks, Chuck. Here I go. I guess I ran away. Only after the door was closed.
Man, that was just I'm just so excited about the show. That could not have gone any better. I knew Janet was a great choice as guest number one. Because she's, she's a professional podcaster herself and does interviews herself. So she knows how to keep the conversation going like a real pro. So, that was just a lot of fun. Janet, her feelings on Tron were, I was kind of wondering what to expect on why that was her favorite pick. And it was very heartwarming to know, to me that was a movie that she and her dad, bonded over. And it was a very special film from her childhood. Because of the cute little Tron game that she used to play with her dad. So as we go on with Movie Crush, I think it'll be super interesting to see sort of the why behind why people pick these favorite movies. And I suspect that moving forward, we're going to get quite a few that have a lot of sentimental value. And that is certainly the case with Janet here in Tron. And Stand Against Evil, guys, I am so excited. I love season one. Janet is so funny in it. Everyone's just great. And season two actually premiered yesterday in real time. So November 1st premiered on IFC. Check it out. Stand Against Evil season two. It's wonderful. And check out JV Club, the JV Club podcast, where Janet interviews people about their embarrassing high school years. It's a really, really good show. So thanks to Janet for her time. And until next week, well, would it kill you to spare a little popcorn maybe? Movie Crush is produced, edited, engineered, and scored by Noel Brown from our podcast studio at Pond City Market, Atlanta, Georgia.